Amen. Last week we introduced a new series of teaching, building on what we'd looked at before Christmas. You know, if you recall, way back at the end of November, the beginning of December, we were looking at discovering our place in the body of Christ, you know, where we fit in to God's plan, God's purpose, as members of his body and members of the church. And over these next few weeks, I just want to build on that foundation that we laid there. Because if you remember, we looked at, I won't spend too much talking about this, but we looked at the different giftings there were. On one of the weeks, we looked at what we called the basic gifts from Romans chapter 12, which were, there were seven of them, and that's the gift of prophecy or preaching, the gift of serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and a gift of mercy. And then on another one of the weeks, we looked at the ministry gifts, which we read in Ephesians 4. There's five of those ministry gifts, and that's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. You know, in this teaching that we're going to be doing over these next few weeks, and we began last week, we're looking at a man in the Bible whose name's Nehemiah. And if you want to turn in the Bible to Nehemiah chapter 1, we see in the early verses of Nehemiah chapter 1 that Nehemiah's he's not in his home nation. He's been taken captive. He's serving the king. He's a cupbearer to the king. And he gets a visit from one of his friends, one of his brothers, and some other men from out of Judea, and he asks them about what's it like back at home, you know, what's the Jerusalem like. And they begin to tell him of all these disastrous things that have taken place in Jerusalem, how it's been, the walls have been broken down, and the gates have been burned with fire. And what we see is the first thing Nehemiah does, and we read this in verse 4 of chapter 1, is, now he goes straight to prayer, and he seeks God about this situation. And that's one of the first things about when we're looking at the vision. I've actually titled it this subject tonight, Catching the Vision and Hearing the Call. And enabled to catch the vision and hear God's call, you know, there's got to be birth in our spirits, and that's birth through prayer. You know, maybe you're presented with a need. And as you bring that need, I'm not just talking about praying for a need. Because we can all pray, but there's something about interceding on behalf of someone. Interceding on behalf of a situation. You know, where you're praying until you know in your spirit that there's been a breakthrough. You know, that type of praying very often produces something, and it's something God does. It produces in you something like and Nehemiah got this. You know, he was praying, and God says, well, who can go for us? You know, who are we going to send on the mission? You know, and Isaiah, he could do nothing else but say, God, you know, send me. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus taught us in the New Testament, and you'll probably know the scripture very well. He said that we should pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. And it doesn't take you long when you're praying that sort of prayer. When you're praying, God, send someone to bring the gospel to people. Maybe your own people, you know, maybe God, send someone to them, you know. It's not very long before you start getting, well, You get that sense of, maybe I should do it. Maybe I should go. And just, and that's catching the vision, that's hearing the call of God. You know, when we start praying forth labourers into the harvest, you know, very often the first and the right response is, here I am, send me. You know, send me. Because it's that type of intercessory prayer that it births something inside. And that's what happened to Nehemiah. You know, he was praying and it birthed within him a desire to serve God. You know, he built his prayer based around what God had said, what God had promised. And that's a good way to pray, you know, praying what God has said, you know, getting it established and rooted in God's word. We looked at all these things last week. You'll see here, he says, look, he says, he puts God in remembrance of his word. And that's sort of the essence of a verse from Isaiah 43, where God says, put me in remembrance, you know, contend with me, state your case, he says, and let us reason together. You know, here, Nehemiah does that. He says, look, he says, God, you promised that if, well, he says, you said that if your people went away from you and disobeyed you, that you'd remove them from their nation and take them to another place. And then he says, but Lord, you also promised that if those people repented of their going astray, that you'd bring them back to their homeland. So he's starting to put God in remembrance of his word, saying, God, you said you'd bring them back. Now he said, I want to go and prepare the place for my people to come back. You know, God starts putting this within his, he's catching the, he's hearing the call of God. And it's all to do with the way he's praying. And where we finished last week, we were saying that every stage in fulfilling the call of God comes from God. In other words, everything we do, we need to know it comes from God. Now, we might be called to do something. You know, Nehemiah was called here, or he felt the call of God on his life to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Rebuild the walls, build the gates, build the temple, rebuild these places. Things that have been destroyed, things that have been knocked down. God was putting on his heart. Now, he perhaps didn't know exactly what needed to be done, but he knew where he was going. And so he began to, like David did, as well. You'll see the scriptures in Samuel where it says this, and I've preached on this a few times, where it says that Samuel inquired of the Lord. He didn't assume that God was going to do anything for it. He took his time. He said, on one occasion he says to God, he says, do you want me to go after the Philistines? And then God says, yeah, he said, go after them. Go and pursue them. And he said, Lord, if I pursue them, he says, are you going to give me the victory? He said, I don't want to pursue them and lose the battle. So God says to him, yeah, okay. He said, go and pursue them. He says, you're going to recover all. He says, you're going to have the victory. And then they came again. And David didn't assume that it was right to go and attack the Philistines again. So then the Bible says that he inquired of the Lord again. You know, do you want me to go? And this, on one occasion, God says, no, don't want you to go. He said, I want you to employ a different strategy. He says, this time he says, I want you to circle all the way around them. When they're in the valley, I want you to circle all the way around them. He says, and I want you to wait until you hear the wind in the treetops, or the Bible says the moving in the treetops. He says, and then he says, when you hear that, he says, then you rush down into the camp. And what happened is when the wind blew through the treetops, the people in the valley, the enemy, the Philistines, you know, they thought horses and all sorts of things were coming down after them, and they fled the valley, and God gave them great victory. They didn't have to kill anyone because they did it, they attacked themselves and they fled, and God gave them a great. So it's not always good to assume you know what God. Take time to seek God. Because in chapter 2 here, verse 8, it says here, the last statement of this verse, it says, the king granted them to me. That's the things that Nehemiah took time to seek God. You know, God, what do you want me to do? And one of the things he felt was that he needed to go to the king and ask for letters travel permits to pass through the land. And he got those letters from the king. Then he asked for wood to be made available so he could build the gates and do part the woodwork in the construction of the city. And he asked the king, he says, give me letters. One so I can pass through the nations on my way back to Israel. He says, I want another letter to the keeper of the king's forest so he can let me have the wood. And he said, and the king granted them to me. Why? Because he'd heard from God. This is what he had to do. And I like this statement here. It says, according to the good hand of my God upon me. It was in accordance to the good hand of God. Yes, he'd heard the call. He'd fixed up in his spirit between him and God in prayer. He knew the strategies. He knew those next steps that he needed to take. Now, I'm going to pick it up tonight. We're still in... Sorry, I said chapter 1 earlier on, but we're going to go to chapter 2 tonight. Because we're going to pick the reading up at verse 9. Because he's beginning to make his journey now to Jerusalem. He's got the letters from the king that will give him a permit to go through the nations. He's got his letter to the keeper of the king's forest. So it says in verse 9, it says, then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Now, not tonight, but as we look at this in a few weeks to come, you'll see that there's three men that keep coming up time and again to frustrate the work of God. And Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite are two of these three. And we'll meet these again at a later stage. But they are not for the work of God. It says here they were deeply disturbed that someone had come to seek the well-being of God's people. Seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So it says in verse 11, it says that Nehemiah says, so I came to Jerusalem. It says, and I was there for 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me, except the one on which I rode. Now one of the key things when it comes to hearing or catching the vision and hearing the call, it's one that it's birthed in prayer. It's founded in the Word of God. We know that every strategy, or every step, if you like, we take, should be directed of God as well. But the next thing here, and this is a mistake a lot of people make, is, I believe it's a one that we need to be aware of, is that we should postpone informing other people about what God has put in our heart to do. Don't mean to say we don't tell anybody ever, but that we shouldn't tell everybody there and then. It says here, it says, I told no one what my God had put. There's an important reason. Jesus did this quite a few times, and I'm surprised how many times, when you look through the Gospels, Jesus taught you, he says, don't tell anyone. Especially those that were, particularly the lepers. He says, don't tell anyone what's happened. He says, but go straight to the priest, show yourself, give the offering to God to say thank you to God. He says, but don't tell anybody what's happened. Yet on other occasions you see Jesus telling, look, go and tell your friends, go and tell your relatives, go and tell this one, go and spread the news, the good things. But there were times where Jesus said, don't tell anybody. And he strictly warned them on some occasions, don't tell anyone. You think, well, why doesn't Jesus want us people to know? You think, well, Jesus wasn't building a popularity thing. He wasn't interested in being popular. You know, there were reasons why he told people not to do certain things, or not to tell people. Because it may have done more harm to the work of God than, you know, we might think, well, we need to tell everybody, you know, let it, but it might do more harm to the work that God's called you to do if you start telling everybody, because not everybody will accept the vision that you've got. Not everybody will accept the call of God on your life. They'll say, well, you can't do that. You know, you've not got the education. You've not got this. You've not got that. You're not qualified. Who do you think you are? You can't go to these. And they'll try and talk you out of doing what God wants you to do. There was one occasion where Jesus told his disciples, you know, they were, I believe they were up the mountain, and they'd seen Jesus transfigured before. There's Peter, James and John. And they'd seen this great vision before their eyes. And as they were coming down the mountain, it says in Matthew 17, so that Jesus told them, he says, make sure you tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. So that, yes, there will come a time to tell, but just hold back. Because it may not always be readily received. You know, there's things God has told me. Sometimes, some of the things God has told me years ago, but I've not shared them with anyone. Not even with Jane. Because I've got to know the leading of God. I've got to know the right. Because some of the things God has, sometimes I struggle to believe some of the things. And I think, well, if I'm struggling to believe it, then other people say, well, you're just that, well, I'm not so young now, but you're the young lad from Wisbech. Now, who do you think you are? Now, you're never going to be that great, or you're never going to be that big, you never, but I've got to go before God. We should all do the same. We should look at, is this going to harm the work of God if we start telling everybody? So Nehemiah here, he says, I told no one what God had put on my heart to do. Because those who don't understand or don't believe may frustrate the work of God in your life. They may even affect your faith. They may even bring you down to their level and say, well, when you start saying, well, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to do this for God. I'm never going to be able to work for God. I'm never going to be able to see the results that I believe I was going to see. So that's an important point. Postponing informing others of the vision. But in the meantime, there's something else that can be done. And we see what Sam, not Sam, but what Nehemiah did. In verse 13 it says, I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. So what Nehemiah is doing, now under cover of darkness, because he didn't want anybody to see what he was doing at that time, he went out at night time and he began to view all the walls. He began to view the work that needed to be done. What he was doing here was preparation work. This was preparing himself so he knew what the task was ahead of him. Now, wisdom involves searching out a matter. preparing for the call of God. It might involve training. It might involve learning something. It might involve spending time just getting yourself accustomed. Let's say, for example, God puts on your heart one day. I'm not saying, don't take this as a prophecy or anything like that, but God may put it on your heart that he wants you to serve him or do something for him and spend quite a few years of your life working, say, in somewhere like China. Somewhere on the other side of the world. Somewhere where you've got to learn a different culture. Somewhere where you've got to maybe learn a different language in order to communicate. It might involve you sitting down and studying for a year or two, trying to learn the language, or learn, finding out about a culture. It might involve you working, if you're going out there, you might want to have to build schools or hospitals and things like that. You might need to know a little bit about the way the governments operate and all the laws and the bylaws and things like that. It might even be something like in this country. God maybe couldn't just do something in it. You might find that in this country you need to find out what local bylaws are regarding perhaps preaching on the street. Or, now I'm not saying that we shouldn't preach on the street, but you might find there's certain parts of a place where you can't go, but you're open to go somewhere else in the town. And there might be local bylaws, and now I know there's a higher law which we've got to adhere to, and if God calls us to a place where a local government bars us, then we just have to just hope no one's officials listening to this, but we just ignore the law because we've got a higher law to go to. There's preparation work, there's research that needs to be done. The work I'm doing with Brookhaven at the moment began. It really came out of research. You know, there was a need of books in other nations, other lands, and the people that set up the Brookhaven ministry began to do a lot of research about what happens with bookshops in these nations, and how the church, the local church in the countries, how they were looking after the bookshop, and you found out they weren't doing very well. And so God put it on the hearts of the people that began Book A to start sending out books overseas. So it came out of research, it came out of learning, it came out of studying what goes on. And there is a time and a place for preparation, a time and a place for research, a time and a place to train. But then there comes a time when that training comes to an end. And God says, okay, now it's time to go. Then verse 17 says, then I said to them, that's the people he mentions in verse 16, the officials. So then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Yes, then there comes a time where we begin to share what God's put on our heart. We begin to talk to others about it. We begin to inspire and motivate others. So people can join us. People can pray for us. People can help us. People can give to us, support us. You may find at the right time you can talk to somebody about what God wants you. You might think, well, they... And you can get the reaction, well, or they're not interested, or, you know, it's not, they're trying to talk you out of it. But when you pick the right moment before God, you can speak to him in such a way, you know what God's called you, you know the plans, you've trained, you've researched, you know what you're talking about, you know what the need is, you can present your case. And you find those same people will be quick. They'll want to pray. They'll want to support the work. They'll want to perhaps put money into the work. Help you in any way they can. You know, because what it says here is, I'm sure had Nehemiah began to tell people what his plan was, that we're gonna rebuild. Now he told the king. He said that was he told the person that needed to know at the time, the king, and the king released him to do the work. He sent him with the letters. He sent him with the letters of authority to pass through the nations. He sent him with the letters to the keeper of the king's forest to release the wood. Then he arrives in Jerusalem. He doesn't tell anybody, but then he begins to look. Oh, that gate needs repairing. That the whole section of that wall needs to be done. There's problems here, there's problems there, there's weak spots here. And he viewed everything. And he built up, he knew his plan. He knew what needed to be done first. That can be left a bit because that's not so bad, that's a bit weak, but it's at least the wall's standing. It needs strengthening, but it's not, that bit's completely down, we've got to do that bit first. You know, we want to sort the gates out. So he built up, he formulated this plan. He knew what he was talking about. So then he could speak with authority. This is what we're going to do. We're going to rise, we're going to build. We're going to begin here. Then we're going to move on to that bit. Then we're going to do the gates. Then there's a little bit here which isn't so bad, and that needs to be strengthened. So once we've got the walls done, there's some internal construction work that needs to be done. And he got all this together. And then what's the response? They said, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to do the good work. Now just finish tonight with, because here you get the verse 19, we've already met two of them. But verse 19 tells of these three guys that keep cropping up throughout Nehemiah's work in Jerusalem. You know, they represent the work of the enemy. And they keep coming up. In verse 19 it says, when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Now we're going to meet these three men time and again through the book of Nehemiah. I'm not going to say we're going to go through the whole of the book of Nehemiah over the course of the studies, but they will keep coming up. Because you'll see they come to attack, they come to discourage, they come to laugh at them and mock them and discourage them. At one point they even come and say, look, he says, what you're doing is, you're wasting your time. If a fox jumped on the wall, that wall would fall down. And they come with all sorts of throw all sorts of things at Nehemiah, and we'll see how Nehemiah handles that. But one of the things we must do, and it's key when we're thinking about serving God or working for God or catching the vision that God's given, hearing his call, is we've got to stand firm through opposition. Not everybody's going to like what we're doing. And I dare say this, you'll find that most of your problems will come from within the church. They will. There'll be other Christians. You might think, well, they're the people you can count on, they're the people you can rely on for their support. And they begin to say, well, let's say, Pastor so-and-so tried to do that 20 years ago and it failed. So we've given up on that. We don't do that anymore. We don't do it that way anymore. And they'll try and talk you out of it. Go back to Brother Andrew. I think on one occasion he said it's something like there's a lot of fire engines in the Church of God. There's not many fire raisers, but there's a lot of fire putter outers. Not many people to encourage you and inspire you and get you motivated and fired up to serve. They come with their water hoses and dampen you down. And say, don't do it that way. Don't do it like that. He says, you're flop, you're foul. And this is what Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem were like. But listen to Nehemiah's view. He says, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. You know, we've heard from God. We know what God's calling us to do. We've got his backing. He will prosper us. We will arise and build. We're going to do what God has put on our heart to do. And just a reminder there to the enemy, he says, look, you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem for the things of God. Unbelievers have no right or heritage where the things of God are concerned. God will supply all our needs. In other words, what it says there, he will prosper us in order to fulfill and bring about what he's put on our heart to do. So all we've got to do is be sure, yes, that it's birthed in prayer, that it's founded in the Word of God. It's not founded in a prophecy or founded in a vision. That could be the confirmation, but it's got to be founded in the Word of God. We might get a vision, and the very often that vision will only confirm what we already know God's leading us to do. Or the prophecy, it will confirm what we already know to do, because it's been birthed within us. Every stage or every strategy we need to take comes from God. That we postpone informing others. Not everybody. Some people will be with us from the word go, and we can tell them that you get to know who they are. You know the people that are really for you and will encourage you to go on in the things of God. Even when nobody else stands with you, you'll have those that encourage you to stand firm in God. But there are others that don't need to know. As they say, it's on a need-to-know basis, and most people don't need to know. Not straight away. Then there's a time of preparation, research and training. Then comes the time to share what God has put on your heart, so that others are inspired and motivated to work with you and support you. And then finally, you need to stand firm when opposition comes. Now, God willing, next week, I want to just go back over chapters 1 and 2 and take you more lessons from it. That's just some basics. So I went through this study quite a few years ago. And some of the stuff that's come out tonight has come from an earlier study. But I looked at it just before Christmas, and God gave me a few other points which I want to bring in into the melting pot, if you like, for that, for want of a better word. So we'll look at that next week. I believe I'm doing it next week. It says so on the plan, does it? I must be then. So catching the vision, hearing the call. So next week we'll look at more lessons, more things from Nehemiah. Amen. So let's pray, give ourselves to the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for, Lord, the opportunity we have to just listen and study your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, as you are preparing us, your people. Lord, for Lord, good things this year. Lord, that we just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, however young or old we are, Lord, whatever our background is, Lord, however we've been brought up, Father, Lord, that you'll just put within our hearts, Lord, Lord, a vision, Lord, to work for you. Lord, that we might hear your call upon us. Lord, whatever that's for, Lord. Whether that's for service, Lord, in another nation, whether that's the service at home, whether it's just working within the framework of our own local church, Father. Lord, that you've got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, and Lord, as we've spent these weeks, Lord, just before Christmas, Lord, and Lord, now as we spend these few weeks, Lord, looking at, Lord, serving you, Lord, that you'll give us a desire, Lord, burning within our hearts, Lord, to step out in faith, Lord, to work for you, to serve you, to do all we can, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, and your glory, Lord, in these days. So, Father, just, Lord, minister to us, we pray. Lord, plant your word deep within our hearts, Father, we pray. Lord, that we might learn and, Lord, take, Lord, from the example, Lord, of, even from this man, Nehemiah, Father, Lord, that we will learn of him, Lord, how, Lord, we can get involved in serving you. So, Father, we just ask in Jesus' name. Now, bless us, Father. Dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.